Jesus. You see, God is in the business. You know, so many people look at their lives and they say, you know, my life's a mess. You know, I made a decision to receive Jesus, but why haven't things changed for me? It's because you're still doing the same old stuff. You know, when God calls you into His grace and His revelation, He's calling you into a new life. And in order to get into the new life, you need to leave the old life behind. Amen? Now, I know there's stuff in your life that there's good stuff. You know, I'm not saying it's all bad, but the thing is that there are things that are so destructive to our relationship with one another, so destructive to our relationship with God, and we just won't let go. And the reason we don't want to let go is the very word that we heard in the praise and worship. It's because of fear. We would rather have the mess, because we know the mess, than to embrace the potential, the possibility of something really great. Amen? Hallelujah. And so we just need to shake off that fear. You know, just shake off that fear. I'll give you a quick story. Way back when I was in the military, back in, Ancient of Days. We still carried swords. No, not that old. But the point is that way back when I had a friend, and his last name was Lamb. But Lamb was huge. He was a monster of a man. You know, he was just a big guy. But he was so gentle. It was just an amazing character about him. But we were in the mess hall. We're having a meal. I don't forget what it was. And he had sardines in his dish, his tray. I had never had a sardine. And he said, "Here, try one of these." I said, "Nah." I mean, come on, think about it. Have you ever seen a sardine? You know, I mean, it looks a bit slimy. You know, I mean, it just, you know, silvery, you know. And I said, and then he told me, you know, it's still, you know, the bones are dissolved. Yeah, I really believe that, you know. But I said, "No, I'm not going to put that thing in my mouth." You know what he said? "You will eat one." And I said, "Okay, I'll try it. Make you happy, you know. I love sardines." Come on, can you hear what I'm saying? You know, sometimes we'd rather stick with what we know. You know, we get into the habits of, and some of those habits, man, they're so destructive. You know, those are the things that are holding you back. Those are the things that are going on and producing repercussions that, you know, you keep saying, "Well, how can this be? You know, I accepted Jesus, my life is supposed to change." But man, you have to step out of the old and enter into the new. Amen. And that's scary. That's a little bit frightening for all of us. Anytime you take a step to go from something that you're familiar with, you're comfortable with, into something new is always a scary moment. Amen. But the Bible tells us, what is it? 2 Timothy verse 1, verse 7. No, chapter 1, verse 7. Did I say that right? 2 Timothy 1, 7 says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and a what? Sound mind. You see, you know, now you gotta understand what that sound mind means. It means that you can make good choices. Life is about choices. Life is about what do you believe, and in what you believe determines the choices you're gonna make. If you believe you're a loser, you're gonna make loser choices. But if you believe that you are a son or the daughter of the Most High, that His Holy Spirit lives in you, then you, as you listen to the voice of God in your life, you're going to begin to make choices that please God and release a blessing upon your life. Don't let fear hold you back. Don't let fear hold you back. The last 22 and a half years that I've been senior pastor of this church has been the greatest 22 and a half years of my life. My wife's not here this weekend. She's away in the Cape, and she's babysitting teenagers. But she told them, "I'm not babysitting you because you're too old to be babysat." Says, "I'm guarding the house." So anyone who had teenagers know exactly what she's talking about. She's watching over the house. But the point is that 22 and a half years ago, and Dee would agree with me now if she were here, that this has been a wonderful experience being the pastor for this church. But I want to tell you, 23 years ago, I was a happy as a clam school teacher, making big bucks, telling everyone that I don't make very much money. You know, I had a pension plan that I was looking forward to. I got 2 months off in the summertime. I had medical payments paid for. I had a dental plan. I had an eyeglass program. And God called me. And I did the same thing that anyone else would do. I counted, you know, we do the cost benefit analysis. This is what is going to cost me. This is the benefit. What it was going to cost me was my job, my pension, my medical benefits, my dental benefit, my eyeglass benefit. They even had a counseling benefit. That's how tough teaching is today. But I mean, it was incredible. It was incredible. And then I counted the benefit. I didn't see a whole lot of benefit. I really didn't. But I knew God had called me. And so I said yes. I didn't say yes to the dress. I said yes to him. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Amen. I said yes to him. And he has taken me on a journey. But the thing is that in order for me to take the journey, I had to release everything behind me. I had to not look back. When the nation of Israel was wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, they kept looking back to Egypt. They kept looking back to their slavery and saying, slavery is better than what we're doing right now. And God had to wait until a new generation of people rose up in order to bring them into the promised land. We need to make a decision. You need to make a decision to let go of your past and embrace your future. Yeah, you're afraid. I get it. I get it. But that's why courage is so important. You know, he's not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of courage. That in spite of the fear, I'm going to make good choices. And there's no better choice that you can make than to say, I want to follow you, Jesus. Now, I know when you do the cost analysis thing, you know, you figure, well, I'm going to lose this, I'm going to lose that. Listen, following Jesus is a win-win proposition. Amen. Yeah, you're going to lose stuff. You're going to lose certain people in your life. Let me tell you, you're better off without them. Amen. They may be the very people that are holding you back from fulfilling your destiny and fulfilling the call upon your life. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a destiny. God has a plan for your life. The Bible says that he's written these things down so that you would do them even before you were born. I don't know how he does it. Don't try to figure him out. Just trust him. He's got a good plan for your life. I happen to be at a point of making a major decision. You know, am I a little bit fearful? I'm a little bit fearful. But what I do is I recount how God has been so faithful to me over the years. And because of the faithfulness of God in my life, I'm not afraid to do anything radical for Jesus. You know, Brenda Bovey mentioned India. I've been to India 7 times. You know, I've been to Pakistan a couple of years back. You know, I've been to at least 3 or 4, 4, 5 nations in Africa. I've been to China. I've been to Mongolia. I've been to Nepal. None of these things would have happened if I hadn't made a decision 22 and a half years ago, I'm going to follow you. It's been exciting. It's been wonderful. But I happen to be at a place of another transition. I've been the senior pastor here for 22 and a half years. The folks that are here, I appreciate you. But it's time for change. And for 21 and a half of those 22 and a half years, there's been a man, and he's right here, his name is Pastor Carl Forster, who has been literally my right-hand man. Yeah, why don't you come up here? Yeah. Amen. If I can borrow the Moses analogy, Carl has been my Joshua. And for 22 and a half years, I've been the senior pastor here. And Carl has been a variety of things. You know, he was the assistant, then he became the associate, then and for the last couple of years, we've been co-pastoring together. But I've still been the senior pastor. You know, as Harry S. Truman said, the buck stops here. It stops with me. And so we're about to make a transition. We're about to make a change. And the change is very, very simple. The change is simply me moving over to here and Carl moving there. In other words, effective January 1, Carl will become the senior pastor. Amen? Let's not be too encouraging there. And I will become maybe not his right-hand man. I'm not going to be the Joshua. I'll be like the Methuselah, being supportive and helping. I'm still going to be here. I'm still going to be, you're going to see my face on Sunday mornings. If not up front, certainly in the congregation, this is still my church. We're not moving away. We're staying here. We have some great ideas. Carl and I, we've talked some great ideas about ministry opportunities within the church. So, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not, as I said to a group of people, I'm not running off with my secretary, Harriet, as some pastors do. But listen, it's just a change. And instead of my making the final decisions on things, Carl would be the guy. Someone asked, he said, well, if Carl is a senior pastor, does that mean that I'll be the go-to guy? Everyone should come to me with their problems and complaints. And I said, absolutely not. I'm transitioning. God has opened a door for me to move in some different directions and do some things that as senior pastor, I was, I have to be here. So now I have a little more freedom to move about and be about. Amen. And so I want you to pray for us. We're going to have an installation in second Sunday of January where, we're going to pray for Carl. We're going to lay hands on Carl and make it official. He's been, this all started when I took three months off, June, July, and August. When I took those 3 months off, I realized I don't want to do this part of the ministry anymore. God had opened up doors for me to go in different directions. Amen. And I'll be sharing those things with you. I'll let you know, what's going on. But I want you to be happy. Amen. Don't be sad. Some people have said crazy things like, well, if you're not going to be here, I don't know if I can stay. That's ridiculous. We're not here to serve a man or a woman, but we come together to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, the same spirit that dwells in me, dwells in Carl, and dwells in each one of you. Amen? And so I want you to be encouraged by that. Amen. Thank you, Carl. And so now it's not a secret anymore. How many people knew before I announced it? Yeah, that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes, yeah. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Today, I want to take a couple of minutes to say something that the Lord showed me while we were worshiping. And I know that there's a lot of division in the country right now. I shouldn't say a lot of division. There's some division in the country. I know that there are, so-called riots and protests and everything over the recent election. Let me tell you, church, it will pass. And I want us to recognize something, and we're going to take a moment to pray for our country, that it's not because of the Republicans, it's not because of the Democrats, it's not because of the independents, it's not because of the anarchists, it is because that this country was founded upon the Word of God. And I want to read to you, and it's a scripture that you're familiar with, because in times of crisis, this is a scripture that rises up. It doesn't depend on any of those. It does depend upon God's people. It's you and I and the church in this nation that is going to make a difference. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name, that's us. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Amen. And so why don't we just do that? Why don't we just take a moment? I realize that in this room there are Democrats. I won't even go there. But hey, there are Democrats, there are Republicans, I'm sure there are independents in the room. There might even be an anarchist. I'm looking at that group back there, you know. There must be an anarchist back there. But nevertheless, like I said, it doesn't matter. What it does depend upon are those that call themselves by the name of Christ, Christians. Amen? And so when we use the word church, I'm not talking about the local church, but I'm talking about the church universal. Amen? And the church national in our case, because we're going to pray for our country. Amen? So why don't you join with me as I just lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the country of the United States. We thank you that we are Americans. Lord, we thank you because of Christians and Americans and Christians in America. Virtually every hospital that's ever been started in the world has been started by Christians. Every school that's been started has been started by Christians. They all had their roots in Christianity. Lord, every social program that was started in the early years was started by Christians, Lord. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would just bring back into control this nation. For this nation has a destiny and it has not been fulfilled. The best days are yet to come. And so, Lord, I just pray and ask that you would just bring reason to everyone who is upset and in turmoil and in anger and is frustrated. Let your peace, which passes all understanding, guard every heart and every mind. Lord, show up in miraculous ways, so that their attention would be drawn off their differences. And Lord, that they would focus on that which unites us. And so Lord, I just ask for your protection upon every person in this country as we go through this birthing process, if you will, this bit of turmoil, this bit of upset. But Lord, we know that in short time, it will pass. And so, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. So that we might focus on the really important things. And that is bringing Christian values to our nation again. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's appropriate now. We have another little video to show you. Let's honor our veterans this morning. Amen.
Since our nation's birth, more than 40 million Americans have put their lives on the line in service to our country. Each one of those 40 million, a person with hopes and dreams. A person with family and friends. A person with the courage to risk it all so that we may freely hope and dream and worship with our family and friends. There are more than 21 million persons alive today brave enough to earn the title veteran. To each and every one of you, thank you.
Amen. And I invite all the veterans in the house, if you would just please stand. We would just like to honor you. Come in. There's a fellow Marine over there. I'm standing as well. George, amen. Hallelujah. Glory. We thank you. We wouldn't be where we are. We wouldn't be what we are without those that have risked, in spite of fear. Because they had sound minds, they made good choices. Amen? Hallelujah. At this time, I'm going to... we had planned to do a special. I think we're going to hold off on the special. We're down to very short time. And I do have something I want to say before you leave. But I do want to take the time to receive our church tithes and offerings this morning. So if the ushers would please come forward. Hallelujah. If I haven't said it, I want to remind you, God is good. And He's good all the time. Amen. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let's take a moment to pray over our giving this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gifts we're about to give. And Lord, we recognize that we're giving to the church, but ultimately we're giving to you and your cause, your movement, your propelling of the good news to all men and women throughout the world. And so, Lord, I ask you to bless every giver here. Lord, we don't give to get. But, Lord, we understand that there's a principle of reciprocity, a principle of sowing and reaping, which says that as we give, we shall receive. As we give generously, we shall receive back generously. And so, Lord, bless every giver in this house. Bless every family represented by this giving. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Let's receive our tithes and offerings. Amen. I want you to put that first slide up there, if you would, and then let me just introduce this. We've been talking about over the last month and a half, I'm not sure, quite sure how long it's been, but we've been talking about the two sides of sin. We've been talking about original sin, and we've also been talking about the sin nature. And we understand that at the cross of Calvary, God dealt with both of those areas through the crucifixion, the death, and most importantly, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know that the penalty for sin is death. And the penalty of that sin, the condemnation, really began in the Garden of Eden. And every man, woman, and child is born with that evident in their life. But what Jesus did at the cross, what Jesus did for you, for instance, this morning, is He took it all away. He took that sin away. The sin that was supposed to result in death, instead He replaced it with the gift of life. And so that original sin was canceled out in our lives. He did it all. There's nothing you can add to it. There's nothing that you can do. He's done it. You're glory bound, as some people would say. Your ticket's been punched. You're headed to heaven. No matter what happens in this life, you're going to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did. But the reality is that we still deal with the sin nature. We still have tendencies and propensities to make the bad choices, to make the wrong choices. Sometimes it's because that's all we've ever known. You know, if you've grown up in an environment where the only choices you had were bad choices, and you were taught to make the wrong choices, well, of course, you're going to continue to do that thinking that you're doing the right thing. And so what really has to happen is that there needs to be literally a brainwashing. Your brain needs to be washed by the Holy Spirit with living water to undo all that's been done in your life and in my life too. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like I'm pointing a finger and God hasn't done a work in my life. Listen, we all deal with the same thing. So the real battle, and that's why this is actually Carl's title. You know, I give him credit for that once. You know, this was his title, The Believer's Battle. This is the battle that you and I deal with every day about making the right choices, to making the godly choices, forsaking the old ways of doing things, which seems so natural because that's the only way we've known. Remember, every time you go in a new direction, there's always a tendency, I'd rather stay in the old because I don't know what's out there. But see, if you trust God, you're willing to take that step. And so when we look at the believer's battle, it really is, in the words of Joyce Myers, it's that battle in the mind, but it's a battle for what you will believe. That's why we encourage the reading of the Word, because when you're reading the Word, you are encountering thoughts and ideas that will contradict maybe what you believe. And a new way of believing and understanding will begin to come to pass. Okay, next slide. There's a battle going on. I don't know if you can see that very well, but you see it, you know. Usually you see the little picture of the devil on one shoulder, the angel on the other, and you know. But really, it is a battle for your mind. What are you going to believe? More importantly, who are you going to believe? I feel like singing Ghostbusters song, but no. It's not something wrong there, you know. So we've got this battle going on the inside of us and in our minds. And listen, we all know what that's like. We tend to be attracted to the wrong things. You know, sin would be easy to overcome if it weren't so attractive. If it weren't so appealing. But what we don't believe or we don't realize is that although it's attractive and although it may produce momentary pleasure, it is the path of death. Death in relationships. Death in your own spirit, your soul. And so we have to make the hard choices. And they're only hard in the beginning. But once you've walked it, once you've practiced it, once you trust Him, what you'll find, it gets easier and easier as time goes along. Next slide. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." In other words, what Hebrews is saying is that God is able to get inside of us and separate the body from the soul, from the spirit. Next slide. The rest of that scripture says, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him, to whom we must give an account." Yeah, even as believers, even though I'm headed to heaven, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, I'm going to have to give an account of our behavior. You know? Is it like hay, wood, and stubble? Or is it like precious gems and jewels and gold, because they're all going to go through a fire? Well, guess what? What's going to burn up if it goes in the fire? The hay, wood, and stubble. The stuff that you did, you know, we often define them as dead works. But the point is that the stuff that God did in you will never burn away. But you're going to have to give an account. There's nothing hidden from his sight. You can't hide. You know, when you're in that place where you're trying to get away with things from God, you can't get away. My kids used to think that Dee, my wife, had eyes behind her head. You know what I'm saying? Moms, they have that ability. Moms can see things without even looking. Hey, God can see everything. He says, everyone is naked before him. Woo! I'm feeling a little, that means, no matter where you are, you think you're hidden in the bathroom, no, listen, he sees you. You're behind that computer. Hey, listen, he knows what you're doing. You're fantasizing about things. Listen, he knows. There's nothing hidden. And that's the thing that we need to embrace in our lives. We need to recognize that we are an open book to our God in heaven. And he's not doing it to embarrass us. He's not doing it to make us feel uncomfortable. But he's doing it so that we will choose him. That we will grow in our relationship and we would rather be with him than doing some of the stuff we think about, dream about, read about, watch movies about, or whatever it is. Next slide. And this is a scripture that we spoke to earlier. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, able to make the right decisions. Next slide. This is something that we laid out a couple of weeks ago that is just a tool for us. This isn't really what we look like, but we are triune in nature. Just as in Hebrews it says that the word is able to divide the spirit from the soul and from the bone and the marrow, which represents the body. And so we see that you have a body, which communicates with the physical world. You have a soul. That's where your emotions are. That's where you make your decisions. That's your mind. You could say you could put mind in that place. But you also have a spirit. And where they overlap is where their relationship exists. And you are right there in the middle. You are triune. Just as your Father in heaven is three in one. He's the Father, He's the Son, He's the Holy Spirit. You are body, soul, and spirit. Or as the Bible puts it, you are spirit, soul, and body. Spirit first.
Yes.
And then we went along and we said, well, this is what everyone looks like. This is what, whether you're a believer or a non-believer, this is what you look like. Now again, this is just an illustration. Please don't try to, dissect yourself trying to find your body or soul or your spirit. It's all in one. But then you made a decision to receive Jesus. Come on. How many people made a decision to receive Jesus? Come on, let me raise your hand. Let me see your hand. Amen. I'm just looking for someone who doesn't have their hand up. Amen. All right, yeah. Amen. I'm watching you. Hey, this is what happens. The moment you made a decision to say, Jesus, come into my life, he does. He doesn't say, I'll come into your life a week from now. He doesn't say, I'll come into your life when you clean your life up. He doesn't say, I'll come into your life when you've done enough penance. The moment you decide, instantly, his Holy Spirit comes to live with your spirit. And the advantage of that as believers is that means that God is able to speak to our spirit through his Holy Spirit. Any question about that? Just read 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We've done many teachings of that over the years. He can speak to you. You can speak to him. Some people think that when you pray, you have to pray out loud. Because God's like Pete. He's hard of hearing, No, he's not hard of hearing. Because we're praying spirit to spirit. But sometimes when we pray out loud, it emboldens us. It's for our benefit. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's what the Apostle Paul said. For it is the power of God unto what? Salvation. But something that's always been there, you need to really begin to see. And this really was another contribution by Pastor Carl. I never quite saw it this way. Oh, my slide was better. Amen. I hope you can see that. Satan, the tempter, the accuser of the brethren, he'll attack you in your body and soul. Satan can't attack you in your spirit because you belong to him. His word says, and Jesus says, no one can snatch you out of my hand. And then in another verse or two later, it says, no one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. You belong to him. He belongs to you. You abide in him. He abides in you. But we are still prone to attacks from the enemy through our mind and through our body. In 1 John, it talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That these are the things that are in the world and they are an attraction to us. And I believe that today they're a greater attraction today than it ever has been in history. It's always been an attraction, but now with media and video and movies and graphics and we're just overwhelmed with through our ears and through our eyes. And this is where you've got to make a decision. Satan's going to tell you, you got to have this. Satan's going to tell you, you got to have his wife. You're never going to be happy without his wife. Or Satan's going to tell you, you're never going to be happy without her husband. Satan's going to tell you, hey, listen, you need to get ahead. You need to, listen, if you have to lie a little bit, if you have to step on people a little bit, that's okay because, you know, God wants you to get ahead. No? I mean, the devil will use God's name. You know, he said to Eve, did not God say? Why? In order to create doubt in our relationship. You know, there's just so many ways, you know, and then Satan can appeal to our minds, you know. Man, that person can't talk to me like that. You know, I sent someone a text. And they replied to me. And at the end of the reply, it said, okay. And I thought, okay. What did this person mean by okay? Was it like okay in a disrespectful way? Can you say okay in a disrespectful way? You know, can you say it? Listen, come on. Anybody here have an attitude? You know, do we have attitude? You know, how many people are proud of their attitude? You know, I'm from the Bronx. You know. That's who I am, you know, my wife were here, she'd say, I'm Queens, you know, all the way through and through, you know. Listen, there's only one attitude that we should have. Love, peace, joy, goodness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control again. Making the right choices. That's the attitude that God wants us to have. That's the attitude that in time, it's like sowing seed in the ground, but in time it will produce a bounty that comes back. But what happens is that we become impatient. Hey, I was nice to this person this morning. You know, they're not nice to me right now. You know, we expect instant results, microwave results. Listen, when relationships have been broken, it takes time to restore them. It takes time to bring healing. You know, some people need time to process. You know, some people are instantaneous in their thoughts and their emotions. But nevertheless, God is able because His Holy Spirit lives in you. And you've got to decide, am I going to follow what I feel I want? Am I going to follow what I think I need? Or am I going to follow what the Holy Spirit is leading me and guiding me to do? You see, that's where the conflict is. That's where the battle is. And let me close with this next... All right, one more slide. The battle is for what you believe. What your battle to believe for today will be the words and actions tomorrow. Next slide, I'm looking for something. Here we go. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit. What does that mean, walk in the Spirit? That means I'm listening, I'm tuned in to the Holy Spirit who lives in me, who reveals himself through his word, but will also reveal himself through the rhema word where he can actually speak to us. I say then, walk in the Spirit. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you overcome the flesh? The flesh is simply that the joining together of the mind and the body. That's the flesh. Flesh isn't just simply this, but it is that combination of the two, the sarx in the Greek, S-A-R-X. And so the flesh is where they come together. For the flesh will lust against the Spirit against the flesh. It means that they're contrary. They're at battle with one another. Listen, if you have a struggle going on in your mind about doing the right thing, you're in the right place. Oh, I thought when I became a Christian, it would just become easy. I would just automatically do the right thing. No. God's not taking away your ability to make a choice, to your free will. But God has given you a voice of the Holy Spirit. God has given you a helper. God has given you one who stands alongside you, the Holy Spirit. That God has given you an exhorter, an encourager, one who will edify you. God has given you a cheerleader on the inside, if you will. And it's the Holy Spirit of God. See, God doesn't want to see you in pain. God doesn't want to see you suffer. Life is filled, listen, life is, can we agree, life is filled with enough pain and suffering as it is? But we have to decide. Here we go. For the flesh, well, there's that battle between the two. And then it goes on to say, these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. And how many people have been in that place? I know this is wrong. I know I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't have this drink. I shouldn't have this joint. I shouldn't have this white powder. You know, I shouldn't be with this person. I shouldn't be watching this, movie. Our lives are filled with, we know when we're not doing the right thing. But what it says is that we lack the power to do it unless you're led by the Spirit. You're not led under law. It's not, hey, I don't want to do this because Pastor Vic said it's wrong. I don't want to do this because God has given me illumination. And I just want to serve Him. I just want to pursue Him. See, He loves you. He loves you. And some of you here are saying, well, how could He love me if He knew what I was really like? He has made a choice to love you. He has decided to love you. Does God have a sound mind? He's decided to love you. And that's what you have to embrace. Because the word's very clear. We love Him because we recognize and we truly believe He loved us first. It's not hard to want to please someone you love. I love pleasing my wife. I talk good things about her when she's not here, so. I love to please her. I love to make her happy. I know what makes her happy. Unfortunately, it's very expensive. It's jewelry. You know, I wish it were just chocolate or bag of M&Ms, you know. Look, honey, I got this for you. But can you hear my heart? God loves you. And that's the thing you have to keep reminding yourself of. He loves you. And if you embrace His love, it's just as natural as breathing, you're going to want to please Him. And listen for that voice. That says, don't do things the old way. Take a chance. Take a risk. Don't fear. For I'm not giving you a spirit of fear, but of love, power. Dunamis, the word power is dunamis. That's supernatural power. That's not just what you can do, but what God can do in you. And a sound mind, an ability to make right decisions. Amen? Hallelujah. Are we there? Hey, I see, yes, you have your hand up. Are you agreeing or do you want to say something? Yeah, come on up. And then we'll close.
Thank you.
I can see the excitement in her eyes. She's got something to say.
That battle of the mind and that battle of the spirit just happened to me a few days ago. I just want to give glory and honor to the Lord. A few days ago, I went to Marshall's and I bought some things for Christmas. And as I got out of Marshall's, I looked at the bill and I saw that the lady forgot to put in one item. And I'm already outside of Marshall's and I'm looking at the bill and I say, Lord, this is not my fault. That was her fault. She didn't put it in. So I'm going forth and back. Lord, do you really want me to go back? No, Lord, this is $35. That's a lot of money. I can buy another present. But that's why I want to give glory. It just goes all together with the Holy Spirit. Years and years ago, I did not go back. I did a lot of things that I wasn't supposed to do. But the Holy Spirit convicted me as I was going out, going back, going forth. And he said, no, you go back. So I went back and I showed him that she forgot to put one sweater in. And the lady next to me, she says, this cannot be. I never saw anything like this. I said, well, Christians do that.
Amen.
So I just want to give glory and honor to the Lord because the Holy Spirit convicted me. The Holy Spirit inside of us will convict us. And I don't think I would have a good night's sleep. So glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. I forgot to say, 2 days later, I got a check in the mail from Marshalls and Teacher Max, what they give, $50. I got a check for $50. I said, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, let's believe there's another check for $25 on its way as well. Amen. Amen. God is good. Listen, you know, you never, some people say, well, I don't see God moving. Well, are you moving with God? You know, if you move with God, you will see God move. But the thing is, if you're going to try and sit by as a spectator, thinking that Christianity is some kind of vicarious experience, other people do it and things happen in their lives and somehow it'll rub off. Won't rub off. You need to walk the talk. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand with me now as we close? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for every man and woman in this room, Lord. And I just pray your anointing upon every single person here. Your Holy Spirit. That's when I use the word anointing, that your Holy Spirit would just saturate their lives. That you would just empower them, Lord Jesus, to live the life, to not live in fear, but to be bold as lions, as you are the Lion of Judah. Lord God, that you would just touch every family here, that even as we move into the holiday season, Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, it can be a time of great joy, but it also can be a time of great pain. Lord, just take the pain away, Lord. Just let this be a joyful, joyous time of celebration, not only celebration of family and relationships, but most of all, celebration of who you are. Even as Vera said, that we can tell people, well, I'm this way because I'm a Christian. This is what Christians do. We love our God, and we move where He moves. And we are not ashamed. Heavenly Father, thank you for each person here. Lord, your special blessing upon each person here. Bless their finances, Lord God, this season. Lord, bless their health in this season of time. Lord, just bless them in their relationships. And we thank you, Lord, that because you first loved us, we can learn how to love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.